Dear brothers and sisters, today's talk this afternoon, as Brother Joseph told us, is on our Blessed Mother. And I'd like to share with you some words of our Holy Father, Pope Benedict, at a recent talk that he gave when visiting a shrine of our Blessed Mother in Germany. And this visit to the shrine was on September the 23rd this year. I won't read everything word for word, but there are some very beautiful points that we can reflect together upon to strengthen our faith in Our Lady, in her role by God's will in our lives, faith in God's design to make her the mediatrix of all the graces that we need to live lives of holiness, to love God. The Holy Father quotes a hymn that was sung here in the beloved quiet vale under the old lime trees. Mary gives us security and new strength. Our Lady gives us security and new strength. We all need strength to follow God, strength of heart, strength of mind even, strength of will to put Him first, to reject the easy way out of sin and temptation. And we need that security that comes from Our Lady, that assurance of her maternal love. A mother's role, of course, is to display, to give security to her children. Our Lady gives that to us in spiritual life, assuring us of God's grace in our devotion to her. The Holy Father said, during two godless dictatorships, which sought to deprive the people of their ancestral faith, the inhabitants of Axfeld, I think that's the pronunciation, were in no doubt that here in this shrine at Etzelbach, an open door and a place of inner peace was to be found. The special friendship with Mary that grew from all this is what we seek to cultivate further. So the Holy Father mentions the people sought comfort in the presence of Our Lady at this particular shrine, that there was an open door to each of them, that same open door that is available to us in our devotion to Mary. He mentions two godless dictatorships, which had as their intention to deprive the people of their faith. These godless dictatorships, of course, were very difficult for the people. But we too, in our own day, have various struggles, various trials. But we too find an open door and a place of inner peace in the presence of Our Lady. When Christians of all times, and I quote the Holy Father, when Christians of all times and places turn to Mary, they are acting on the spontaneous conviction that Jesus cannot refuse his mother what she asks. Here we have the Holy Father reminding us of Our Lady's powerful intercession in our lives. She does not refuse to hear us because she presents our petitions to Jesus. No, and Jesus does not refuse his mother, as we learned from the mystery at the wedding feast at Cana. Our Lady inaugurated this new time of faith, this new time of grace, when our Lord turned the water into wine and began his ministry. The same principle applies in our own lives. He continues to turn the water into wine. He changes us, he transforms us, he converts us, he works miracles. He continues to listen to Our Lady's intercession. Mary says to Jesus, when she considers our own needs, my child, my son, my daughter, or they have no wine. She continues to intercede for us. This is our faith. And I continue with the words of the Holy Father. They are relying on the unshakable trust that Mary is also our mother. Unshakable trust. A mother who has experienced the greatest of all sorrows, who feels all our griefs with us and ponders in a maternal way how to overcome them. How many people down the centuries have made pilgrimages to Mary in order to find comfort and strength before the image of the Mother of Sorrows, as here at Etzelbach. Comfort and strength before the image of the Mother of Sorrows. There's one thing that perhaps seems to dominate our lives at various times. It is the sorrows of life, no? The trials, the afflictions, whether they are brought about by our own folly and sinfulness or the result of another or something that we had not planned. We are all afflicted at different times with sorrow, with distress. The Pope mentioned that Mary has experienced the greatest of all sorrows, that of the crucifixion of her beloved son. And she feels our grief. She ponders in a maternal way how to overcome our difficulties. So let us turn to Mary to find comfort and strength. It's what we need, comfort and strength. The particular image at this shrine in Germany is image of Our Lady of Sorrows. And now the Holy Father contemplates this image, and we see his contemplative aspect, his contemplative soul. He says, "Let us look upon her likeness, a woman of middle age, her eyelids heavy with much weeping, gazing pensively into the distance, as if meditating in her heart upon everything that had happened. On her knees rests the lifeless body of her son. She holds him gently and lovingly like a precious gift. We see the marks of the crucifixion on his bare flesh. The left arm of the corpse is pointing straight down." The Pietà, this particular image is, no? The Pietà. Perhaps this sculpture of the Pietà, like so many others, was originally placed above an altar. The crucified Jesus would then be pointing with his outstretched arm to what was taking place on the altar, where the holy sacrifice that he had accomplished becomes present in the Eucharist. So here, the Holy Father makes a beautiful correlation, a beautiful connection between Calvary and the Eucharist, which we know is our faith. The Eucharist is the continuation, the representation of the sacrifice of Calvary. And our Holy Father contemplates the possibility that the statue of our Lord's crucified body was placed above an altar, and our Lord, with the outstretched arm, points down towards the altar. All that was accomplished by our Lord on the cross, on Calvary, is given to us in the Holy Mass. That is why the Mass is of infinite worth. It is our greatest treasure. Continuing, or rather, a side note, we recall the vision of Sister Lucia, Fatima, with the crucifixion, the graces and the mercy flowing down into the chalice. Again, all that Christ did for us on Calvary is offered, is given to us in the Holy Mass. Continuing with the words of the Holy Father, a particular feature of the holy image of Etzelbach is the position of our Lord's body. In most representations of the Pietà, the dead Jesus is lying with his head facing left so that the observer can see the wounded side of the crucified Lord. Here in Etzelbach, however, the wounded side is concealed because the body is facing the other way. it seems to me that a deep meaning lies hidden in this representation that only becomes apparent through silent contemplation. In the Atzelbach image, the hearts of Jesus and his mother are turned to one another. The hearts come close to each other. They exchange their love. A beautiful reflection. The heart, the wounded heart of Jesus, the immaculate and sorrowful heart of Mary are united. And there is an exchange of love. A beautiful image to reflect upon. That our Mary, that our Blessed Mother's heart beats with the same love of the Sacred Heart. And if only our hearts would do the same. If only we had in our heart, first and foremost, the love of Jesus and the love of Mary to give to the world. The Pope says, we know that the heart is also the seat of the deepest affection and the most intimate compassion. In Mary's heart, there is room for the love that her divine Son wants to bestow upon the world. Now, there are some sentences, when we first read them, may sort of go over our heads or not make much impact. So read that again. In Mary's heart, in the heart of Mary, there is room for the love that her divine Son wants to bestow upon the world. Now, these are the words of our Holy Father. He's saying, in Our Lady's heart, there is enough space. Now, her heart is so beautiful, so large, that it contains this love of Jesus that he wants to give to the world. In other words, he gives to the world his love, his own love, through the heart of Mary. Mary is the treasury, if you like, of the graces of our Lord. And she dispenses this love of Jesus that he wants to give, and that he wants to give through her. That is why devotion to Mary brings about in our lives radical conversion. If it is true devotion, it brings about beautiful changes from death to life, from darkness to light, from ourselves to the Lord, from the life of selfishness to a life of discipleship to a life of charity. Next, Marian devotion focuses on contemplation of the relationship between the mother and her divine Son. In their prayers and sufferings, in their thanksgiving and joy, the faithful have constantly discovered new dimensions and qualities which this mystery can help to disclose for us. For example, when the image of the Immaculate Heart of Mary is seen as the symbol, when the Immaculate Heart of Mary is seen as a symbol of her deep and unreserved loving unity with Christ. Next, something very important. It is not self-realization, the desire for self-possession and self-formation, that truly enables people to flourish according to the model that modern life so often proposes to us, which easily turns into a sophisticated form of selfishness. Rather, it is an attitude of self-giving, self-emptying, directed towards the heart of Mary, and hence towards the heart of Christ and towards our neighbour. This is what enables us to find ourselves. So here, an extraordinary message of our Holy Father, in a world that is filled with people with an identity crisis. The question, who am I? What is my purpose in life? Why am I here? How can I find myself? Well, the Holy Father tells us it comes about through an attitude of self-giving, self-emptying, and this self-emptying directed towards the heart of Mary and hence towards the heart of Christ and towards our neighbour. So at the moment we try to sort of get past ourselves, the moment we try to give ourselves heroically to one another in love, in charity, in concern, in kindness, in compassion, in patience, even though we feel the opposite, the moment we do that and try to give ourselves to the heart of Mary, to the heart of Jesus, to one another, then we find ourselves. Then we discover what we were actually created for. God, you know, from the Catechism, made us to know, love, and serve Him. We can't know, love, and serve God if we're only thinking about ourselves. But we can know, love, and serve Him when we start to think about Himself, Our Lady, and others. When we empty ourselves, when we give of ourselves. That is what we are called to do. Next, looking down from the cross, from the throne of grace and salvation, the cross, the throne of grace and salvation, Jesus gave us His mother, Mary, to be our mother. At the moment of His self-offering for mankind, He makes Mary, as it were, the channel of the rivers of grace that flow from the cross. This is the doctrine of Our Lady, as mediatrix of all graces. The Holy Father said, Mary becomes, as it were, at this moment of the crucifixion, the channel of the rivers of grace that flow from the cross. At the foot of the cross, Mary becomes our fellow traveler and protector on life's journeys. As the Second Vatican Council expressed it, by her motherly love, she cares for her sons, brothers, and sisters who still journey on earth surrounded by dangers and difficulties until they are led into their blessed home. So Mary's love accompanies us in life through the good and the bad, through the dangers, the difficulties, until she sees us safely home in heaven. That is from the Second Vatican Council. Yes, indeed, in life we pass through high points and low points, but Mary intercedes for us with her Son and helps us to discover the power of His divine love and to open ourselves to that love. So, another dimension that the Holy Father points out to us, why Mary intercedes for us, is that we would discover in our lives the power of the divine love of Jesus. This is what we all need to be mindful of, to reflect upon, to accept, to open ourselves to the power of His divine love. If we are convinced of the love of Jesus, then life will be so much better. It's when we rely too much on the love of others that we are disappointed. But if we rely primarily on the love of Jesus and exclusively on that love, we will never be disappointed, because that love is unchanging, it is everlasting, it is steadfast. Our trust in the powerful intercession of the Mother of God and our gratitude for the help we have repeatedly experienced impel us, as it were, to think beyond the needs of the moment. What does Mary actually want to say to us when she rescues us from some trial? She wants to help us grasp the breadth and the depth of our Christian vocation. With a mother's tenderness, she wants to make us understand that our whole life should be a response to the love of our God, who is so rich in mercy. Our whole life to be a response to the love of God. As St. Francis said once, love is not loved. Our job is to love God in return, to be convinced of the love He has for us and to give that love in return. And now, something very beautiful. The Holy Father puts words on the lips of Our Lady. Understand, she seems to say to us, quote, that God, who is the source of all that is good, and who never desires anything other than your true happiness, has the right to demand of you a life that yields wholly and joyfully to his will, striving at the same time that others may do likewise. Beautiful words of our Holy Father that he puts on the lips of Our Lady. It's as if Mary is saying to us, no, God is the source of all that is good. He doesn't ever desire anything than our happiness, our true happiness. And he has certain rights. He has the right to demand of each of us a life that yields wholly and joyfully to his will, because he is our Lord, he is our God, and striving at the same time that others may do likewise. So this sort of sums up the whole of our life. God is the source of all that is good. He desires our true happiness, and he has the right to demand that we live our lives in such a way that we completely and joyfully give ourselves up to what he wants, to his holy will, and to strive at the same time to help others to do the same, to encourage one another to fulfill God's will, not to be an obstacle or a scandal, but to be a help. Then the Holy Father continues, where God is, there is a future. You could put that in the negative. Where God is not, there is no future. Where God is, there is a future. And finally, indeed, when we allow God's love to pervade and to shape the whole of our lives, then heaven stands open. Then it is possible so to shape the present that it corresponds more and more to the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then the little things of everyday life acquire meaning and great problems find solutions. Confident of this, we pray to Mary. Confident of this, we put our faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and God. Amen. So this was given by our Holy Father on September the 23rd, this year, 2011, at Etzelbach in Germany. Let us pray for our Holy Father and take to heart his words. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.